Amen. Take your Bibles this afternoon, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'll share a few thoughts from the Scriptures this afternoon as what God's put on my heart for today, and really just remind us of a few things, the privilege that we have. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, you can remain seated. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. It says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. For even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you and to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." And I want to come back, and I'll tell you why it's been on my heart about a week and a half now. And this verse, and specifically also over in 1 Timothy, where I preached from just a week and a half ago about the recommitting to ministry and the gospel that had been committed to the trust of the Apostle Paul. On a week ago on that Friday, and I've given this testimony, getting the phone call to be able to go in and be able to meet this man at the hospital. I'm not going to give you the salvation testimony again, but on that Thursday afternoon, it was at on Thanksgiving, and I received a phone call. It was a Concord number. And so I answered it. We were having Thanksgiving with the family. But I answered it, and it was the hospital. And they said someone's asking for a hospital visit, wants to talk. And so they put me through to the ICU, was able to get the information, go by there on Friday morning. So what was said to me, and I'm leading up to this, what was said to me on that phone call on Thanksgiving afternoon is the man that called, he said, "I'm just going through my list, trying to find someone from spiritual care to be able to come." So I thought about that. I said, okay, people aren't answering their phone on Thanksgiving. They got down to my name. I went the next day when I was talking to the nurse and getting the name and the information and everything. And she said this, she said, "He's asked about 4 times for someone from spiritual care to come down." Well, instantly I started thinking, I said, you know, after the man got saved on that Friday morning, his name's Conrad, by the way. Name's Conrad, not our Conrad, different one. But after he got saved and he was ready for the gospel, you could just tell the way he started talking to me. He didn't know what he needed, but he needed something, and it was God. And I was able to witness to him, be able to give him the gospel, bowed his head, trusted Christ right there in the hospital. But as I was leaving there, the overwhelming responsibility and privilege that God would trust us with the gospel. And I thought, here this man had asked no less than 4 times for someone to come and see him. And then the call-in service had gone down through the list, and I thought, you know, God just had to have everybody else get out of the way in order to be able to get down to us. Not me personally, I'm saying our church now, okay? Because God could trust a lost soul with Granite State Baptist Church. So I walked out of the hospital that Friday morning, and I start thinking about this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, where the Apostle Paul said in verse number 4, but as we were allowed of God, and look at this, to be put in trust with the gospel. And I thought, there's a lot of things that each and every one of us could say we've been trusted with over the years. Sometimes people will come to us and say, now, I want to talk to you, but I'm trusting you with this information for it not to go to anybody else. It's not a prayer request to be shared at midweek service, okay? So we've been entrusted with things. But then as we go through life, we know that sometimes we've been entrusted not just with information, but maybe we've been entrusted with some material possessions that someone would say, would you hold on to this for me? And we get trusted with things. And I thought in the Apostle Paul's life, now he wasn't trusted with a whole lot after salvation. Before salvation, he was entrusted, with letters and with traditions and rituals. He was entrusted with the persecution of the church. He was doing everything he could do. After salvation, God trusted him with the gospel. And that's why he would say things like, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Because it's been trusted to him. And I thought, here we are in Concord, New Hampshire now. I don't know the number-wise on how many churches or assemblies would be meeting just in Concord, New Hampshire this morning. But I thought, just the fact, and I know there's a few places, listen, you can walk in off the street, you'll be able to hear a gospel message and be eternally saved. Praise the Lord for it. But I made it personal with us. And I thought, Lord, what a blessing it is that you would trust us with the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, that it would be put into our possession to be able to share with those. There's others that have been trusted with the tradition of men. Okay? There's others that have been trusted and it's been handed down with visions that some man went and got while he was inside of a cave somewhere. There's been others that have been entrusted that Mr. Smith could maybe go into a tree grove somewhere and be entrusted with some visions from heaven, so-called. But I thought, you know, those all things are fine for them. That's the direction that they have. That's the doctrine that they believe. But God's entrusted us with the gospel. That which is the answer to all of humanity's problems. That which is the answer to change lives. That which is the answer to the alcoholic that's trying to go to every meeting they possibly can, if they just understand that Jesus is the answer. That drug addict that's looking for the next fix. That marriage that needs to be put back together. That parental and children's relationship that is strained and being pulled apart from each other. God has entrusted us with the answer to all of that. And he said, you've got the gospel. Now, I saw this, and there's several things down through here, and I'm just going to give you these. This is how God gave it to me, and honestly, it was just early this morning. And I was sitting down, and I knew, and boy, I'd been going through this passage of Scripture, and God said, here's what I want you to just share with them. I saw, first of all, the permission to preach the gospel. God's entrusted us with it. Look what he said in verse number 4. And I circled this word and I said, I hope we never get over the privilege that God has given to us. He says, but as we were allowed. I thought, what a blessing that God would look down from heaven and He would look at this group of believers. Listen, our number one, and we'll get to it here in a little while, our number one goal of Granite State Baptist Church ought to be for the spreading and the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that God would look down and say, I'm going to allow you to do that. Now, sometimes we look at it and say, but we have to send it out around the world. No, we get to send it out around the world. God has allowed this church. Now, He could have, and we know what Jesus said to His disciples. He says that if you keep quiet, He said, I could even make these stones to cry out, and they could testify on my behalf. You know something? I believe the angels of heaven would probably do a better job than what we do for the propagation of the gospel. They'd probably do a better job. They'd never get tired. They'd never get wore out. They'd never complain that it's too cold. They'd never say, that's just not me. But God didn't give it to the angels. God didn't give it to the stones. God allowed us to be entrusted with the gospel. Now, let me share a few things. We have the permission that we've been entrusted with the gospel. I want you to see, first of all, and I just wrote some things down here, and I'll just give them to you real quick this afternoon. Number one, the priority with the gospel is to honor God. Now, I understand we give the gospel to be able to see souls saved, but may I say that every witness and opportunity to proclaim the gospel is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said down here in verse number 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Let me ask you something. I wonder, and we got to think about this on an individual level. I wonder if God is exalted, honored, and glorified. I wonder if he is pleased with our individual effort of preaching the gospel. And when I say preaching the gospel, I'm not talking about behind the pulpit. There's one pastor at Granite State Baptist Church going to be up here on Sunday morning. You say, well, I'm waiting to get behind the pulpit to be able to preach the gospel. Can I say this? I wouldn't say it'll never happen, Brother Steve. But there's people you pass by and I pass by every day of our lives. But somehow we think if we're not in the position, then we don't have the responsibility of it. No, I wonder if God is pleased and exalted and glorified with our effort with what he's entrusted us with. He's given us the gospel. The gospel has been put in our trust, and I wonder if we're honoring God with our effort to be able to get that out to the people around us. Now, I still believe there's even more that can be done as a church, and I know that there's more that can be done on an individual basis. We've been entrusted with the gospel, but remember the priority is to honor God. You say, well, I want to see as many people saved as we possibly can. So do I. But may I say, bigger than that, every person that I get to share the gospel with, I have just exalted the Lord Jesus Christ and shared His love with lost humanity. Whether they trust Christ or not, that's on them. I understand that. My responsibility is, listen, I'm looking to please God, not please men. And on the priority is to make sure that I honor God. And I get to be a witness of His gospel and tell how good our God is to everybody we come in contact with. You say they're not going to like that. Well, you know something? I've never had one person get upset when I look at them and say, has anybody told you today that Jesus loves you? I've never had one person cuss me out when I did that. Not one. When I say, hey, God loves you. Now, I'm not sure where the conversation will go from that, but I've had more of a response saying, well, thank you for that. Just telling them Jesus loves them. You say, did you get to preach the whole gospel to them? No, but now they know that there's somebody that loves them. And it may just start something in their heart saying, who is this Jesus that loves me? How does he know that he loves me? You never know what God would do something like that. Make sure the priority is to honor God. I want you to see the purity of the gospel. He said in verse number 5, he said, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. And I thought, we live in a day and age today, can I say there's a lot of impurity of the gospel. They're muddying the waters with what it takes to trust Christ as their Savior. Can I bring it back to what the Bible says? Okay? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, we have to believe we're sinners, and we have to know that. Every one of us by nature are sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid that price. He died for me on Calvary. You know what I have to do? I have to accept that. And I have to believe on him. And believe in him that he did that. You say, well, what about all these other things? And listen, there's a big discussion across our nation. You need to repent to be saved. You don't need to repent to be saved. I believe in repentance, okay? But let me say this. You say, what does someone have to repent of to be saved? There was one pastor and he was proud of it. I don't know why. But a man walked the aisle and he said, I need to be saved. And the man looked at him. He said, you ready to go back and cut your hair and start living right? He was there to be saved. And he said, no. He said, go back to your seat and quit wasting my time. Now, I believe in repentance, but that's not what's necessary. Listen, there is one sin that will send someone to hell. And it is unbelief in God. And someone has to repent of their unbelief in God, turn from their unbelief, and turn to God. God will take care of everything else. That's called sanctification. The purity of the gospel. Keep it simple. Jesus died for sinners. He was buried, and he rose again. And Paul said, listen, when we came in there, he said, we're not trying to use flattering words. We're not trying to use a cloak of covetousness. We're just trying to preach the gospel. You turn from your unbelief to belief in God. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. That simple. The purity of it. And I thought, while we're presenting the gospel, and I thought about the protection while presenting the gospel, I thought about what Paul said here. You ever hear some of those people, and we've been entrusted with the gospel, so I don't think we ought to ruin our opportunity when we're giving someone the gospel. Okay? He said when they came in there to preach the gospel in verse number 7, he says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And I thought, what's wrong with being compassionate while we're giving someone the gospel? You say, well, bless God, some saved by fear. Paul, I say, some. Some. I'm not one. I appreciate those that have the boldness to go stand on a street corner and preach for 2 or 3 hours. I'm not going to chase someone down on a street corner or because they have their window down, rolled down a little bit and yell at them that they're going to split hell wide open. They don't know a thing about what I'm talking about, except there's some lunatic that's standing on a street corner yelling at them. I'm thinking, you know something? If God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know something? I believe we ought to love sinners the way that Jesus loves sinners. And Paul said, now listen, when he came into Thessalonica, he preached the gospel. But he said, I did it and I was gentle among you. As a nurse cherisheth her children. What would you think if you walked back there to the nursery and you saw the workers in there and everything? Now think about, that's the example that's been given. Yeah, I know that nursery workers want to do this sometime, but you go back there and they're duct tape up against the wall. And I mean, they're just, we couldn't get you. And you're thinking, what are you doing to the kit? No, you walk back there and listen, nursery ministry is not for everybody. Okay? It's not for everybody. Some people don't have the long enough fuse to be able to be patient in the nursery. Sometimes when it comes to dealing with sinners, they don't have a long enough fuse either. Just to be patient with them. You know something? You didn't know it all when someone started witnessing to you either and telling you about Jesus. Aren't you glad someone was patient and just kept giving you the Word of God? And Paul said, I want you to know, he said, I was just trying to be easy with you. He said, I was just trying to protect the hearers. I was just trying to watch over them as a nurse with her children. But then I'll say this. I see the passion with the gospel. The passion. Verse number 8 says, even though they were gentle, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. And he goes in the next verse, our labor and travail, labor in night and day. You know why? For the gospel's sake. They had a passion to be able to present the gospel to those that they came in contact with, specifically here in the city of Thessalonica. And he said, listen, we were so passionate, so desirous, not just for the gospel, but we imparted our own souls. And I thought, the Apostle Paul realized what he'd been entrusted with. Now, let me ask you something. When was the last time, I'm not saying we put our hearts into it, but when's the last time we put our souls into it and said, that's what we want to impart unto you? You know why? For no other reason except we just loved them. That's it. You say, what would cause them to act such a way? Why would Paul, why would Timothy, why would those that traveled with him, why would they be that passionate towards the people of Thessalonica? They never met him before. Because they realized that they had been entrusted with something from God. Even the good man of the house, remember when he gave away his 5 talents, his 2 talents, and his 1 talent? He said, at least you could have put it to usury and not just dig a hole and put it in the ground. At least do something with it. I've entrusted it to your account. And I thought, now what a privilege that God has given to us to be entrusted with the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, that which will change the eternal destination of every soul upon the face of the earth. I don't know if I can get it more serious than that. God's entrusted us with that. He's put it in our care. Same way Paul said, I'm allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. And I thought, Lord, would you not allow us just to do it by word, but would you allow our souls to be put into that which we've been entrusted with? There's no half in and half out when it comes to it. Are we giving God the glory through all of that? It's sobering. When I realize God just had to get him down through that list because he had a church over here on the east side of town that he said, I've trusted them with the gospel, and I know that if they can get a hold of that church, someone will go in and tell them about Jesus. And I thought, it was humbling. It was humbling that God... Yeah, that's just all coincidence. They just couldn't get it. You can think what you want about that whole thing. I think God just had to weed them out by saying, there's a church over there, and I know. Get them in touch with that church, and they'll give them the gospel. They'll give them the gospel. That's why I think a door is opening up at Merrimack. You know what God's saying? Do you realize there's probably more involvement in that jail than I've ever seen in a county jail by a church. You know what that says about the Lord? The Lord's saying, there's hundreds that need the gospel up there. Hundreds. Now, I'm just going to entrust Granite State Baptist Church. I can trust them with the gospel. I'm going to open that door for them because I trust them to take the gospel in there. And I thought, it's a great responsibility, the privilege of the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that you're faithful. Lord, thank you that you chose Granite State Baptist Church. You've entrusted us with the gospel. And Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful with it. Lord, help it not to get to a day when you can't entrust us with a lost person to walk in here and them to be told about Jesus. Lord, help us to be found faithful to you and to glorify our Savior with the gospel. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.